Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
Today's program has been brought to you by GreatBrewers.com, a social media marketing platform dedicated to promoting the world's great brewers and the beers they create. For more information, visit GreatBrewers.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit HeritageRadioNetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey, welcome to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. It's March 12, 2013. I'm Jimmy Carboni from Jimmy's Number 43 and the Good Beer Sale. I have a great lineup of guests tonight. Tonight this is our Queens Craft Beer Show. We've got Gloria Dawson, a writer from Time Out New York. We got Jan and Ben from the Queens Kickshaw. Hey. Rich from a new brewery, Bridge and Tunnel, and a special guest from Manhattan, Gus Anton from Inwood Local. All right. Thanks for coming on the show, guys. We have a great sponsor, GreatBrewers.com. You can learn about beer. Have any of you ever taken the Great Brewers 100 test?
No.
I highly recommend it. Go to greatbrewers.com. They have a 20 test and 100 tests, and you can kind of study as you take the test. I think, Gus, you should take it. You've got a new bar up in Inwood, northern Manhattan, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I should probably take it.
Yeah, do you do any beer training with your staff or anything?
No, pretty much the sales reps come in, and we do tastings, and they describe all the flavor profiles and all that and, with staff, yeah.
Ben, in Queens Kickshaw, do you do any staff training or anything?
Well, we have four taps, and we've never had the same beer twice, so we taste a lot of beer. So every time one beer kicks, another one comes on, so we learn a lot that way.
I said go to the greatbrewers.com site. Start off with a 20 test. It's really good. It covers a lot of things.
I think we should probably take some tests.
All right. So that's our sponsor, greatbrewers.com, and thanks to the Good Brew Seal. Queens Kickshaw, you guys might be in the Good Brew Seal one day. We hope so. You're a small, independently owned beer bar in New York City.
We're crossing our fingers.
Yep, and every year there's a whole new crop, and that'll be coming up in the spring. And people always ask me, how do they get in? Well, you don't get in. It's kind of like you earn it, and you've got to be open for over a year. Got to be small, independently owned craft beer bar. And last year we're up to 41, and there's every year there's new ones opening. And in fact, the other night I went to a very interesting bar called Torst, which
was
big news in beer after New York City Beer Week. It sounds like thirst in Danish, and there was a chef from Omofuku, a general manager from DBGB, consultants from Evil Twin and 12% Imports. And they really raised the bar for beer up bars in the city. But for many of us, we've got our favorites already. I mean, I really like Spite and Dive, I like Jimmy's Number 43. And Queens Kickshaw, you guys really made a difference this year for New York City Beer Week. There were so many events that you guys did that really stood out. And Gloria Dawson's here. Gloria wrote a nice article for Time Out about all the great new places in Queens. So let's talk about Queens beer.
Yeah, there's so much going on. We didn't have Queens Kickshaw because they've been around for a few years. But they're sort of started, I feel like, the trend of great restaurants, great beer. There was three breweries and a bunch of restaurants and the beer cheese shop, too.
All right. Tell us about your place, Queens Kickshaw.
Sure. Queens Kickshaw, we're on Broadway right off of Steinway. We're a coffee shop, we're a beer bar, we're a restaurant, we're kind of all three. We wear a lot of different hats, and that's, of course, a challenge, but also that's what makes it so much fun.
But during Beer Week, you guys, I noticed you had a lot of events, so you did stand out.
Yeah, so I could tell you about the menu, if you like, we did for Beer Week. It was a lot of fun. We paired the four different Queens breweries with four different courses, and then we also took it a step further and included a part of the brewing process or the beer itself into each of the dishes that were paired with those beers. So the first course was miso mustard pickles, which were basically beer battered, but they had a brewer's yeast from single cut beersmiths from the bottom of their fermenters. the second course was like a seared romaine hearts with a kombucha vinegar, and what else was in there? Skipping something, but that was paired with a one-off keg of lever saison that we got from Beyond Kombucha just for Beer Week, and then the third course was a white bean and beer stew, which was served in a purse. It was cooked with wort from Rockaway Brewing Company Scotch Ale, and we paired that with the Scotch Ale, of course. And then finally for dessert, we had beer and bread pudding, which was made with the hazelnut brown, which I'm drinking right now, which is freaking delicious, and it was paired with
from Rich beer. At Bridgetown. So, Rich, I was out at your place a few weeks ago, yep, out in Queens, and I was really impressed at some of your beers. And you did the launch in Manhattan at Jimmy's Number 43. Right. Yep. But this hazelnut brown ale, it's really seems to be your signature beer right now.
Yeah, it's been a recipe I was sitting on for a while, and just waiting for the opportunity to put it out there. And it's gotten the reaction that it got when I was doing it as a home brewer. So, I'm pretty happy the way it's going.
Well, a little bit later, we're going to do more of an in-depth interview with you and talk about how you got started. But Gloria, you're the journalist. Did a big story on Queens beer and beer bars.
Yeah, it was really exciting because I live in Astoria, and I've seen lots of interesting things happening. And I don't know, they don't. There's not a lot of reporting on the restaurants and breweries and stuff going on in Queens. So it was really exciting. And I met with Rich. I met with guys from Rockaway. I met with guys from Single Cut, Astoria Beer Cheese. Let's see. Sunswick 35 is opening a new place.
It's open now, isn't it?
Yeah, it's open now. Yeah.
Yeah. Open door in Long Island City.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really exciting to go and check all this stuff out, and I'll be in like within walking distance of my place.
Well, do you have any questions for our Queens guys?
Let's see. What made you decide not to ever repeat a beer? I mean, that's a really big challenge.
It started off as a challenge to do for just 1 year, and then we would go back and have some of our favorites after that year. But we just kept it going because there were still so many more beers that we had yet to try. And, of course, I think it's probably a little bit of a trend now that people have rotating taps. And so it's not been much of a challenge, to tell you the truth. It's been harder to get lighter, lagers and kolsches and pilsners and things like that. But everything else, breweries are just coming out with so many one-offs and experimental stuff that now that it's been great to try everything.
So you haven't repeated one beer?
No.
Never?
Technically, no.
And what, do you have a question for Rich, our new brewery from New York City?
Let's see. I mean, I did an interview with you, so I don't know. When we talked a little bit about your plans of expansion and kind of where you're going now, because you're a super small operation. It feels almost artisanal, I'd say, right, in style. But
I like to think I'm the smallest brewery in New York City right now, like real brewery, functioning brewery.
I think you might be right.
Yeah. So...
But yeah, you had talked a little bit about thoughts of expanding. Is that happening? Or are you thinking?
Yeah.
I mean, you got such great reactions.
I'm actively looking for a bigger space. You saw my space. It's all of 150 square feet, but I can extract every inch I could get, make it work for the brewery. So, but I'm kind of painted into a corner where if I don't get a bigger space, I can't get bigger equipment. Like I couldn't even expand right now to a 3-barrel system. So I was actually looking this weekend at a space that's 2,500 square feet. It's a little scary.
Also, it's in Queens?
It's in Queens. It's not exactly where I want it to be. I'd rather be in either Woodside or Astoria. It's actually in Glendale, which is, it's like Glendale bordering Bushwick and Ridgewood. It might be off the drawing board by next week. I don't know. But it's, I want it to be like close enough that maybe people can come by train if they want to work in the brewery, because there's been a lot of people that have offered to help me, and where I'm at in Maspeth, it's not really accessible to public transportation. Like Gloria, she came from Astoria, which is
like two buses and a train.
It's my old neighborhood, and I could have picked her up in 10 minutes, and it took her 2 hours to get there. And that seems like everybody's in that boat. So I got to figure out what's going to work for people, that want to come on and, make this a bigger brewery.
Yeah, I wonder, I think sometimes the biggest challenge with something so small is kind of keeping, you know, your unique hands-on-ness to your beer that really shows up, and it's also your, you know, hand-delivering your beer. I think I'm seeing now these really small breweries trying to expand and sort of going, you know, the growing pains of that. But I think just keeping your brand very artisanal is super important.
Well, trying to keep a balance with that too. You know, it's a question of will it be a 5-barrel system or a 10-barrel system? Because the bigger it gets, the less you have your hands on it, you know. I like going to the bars and, you know, growler filling stores and meeting guys like Ben and, you know, really, and you, Jimmy, you know, coming down and climbing down the stairs with my kegs, you know. I like it, you know.
And what are we drinking right now?
It's the Hazelnut Brown Ale, Tiger Eyes, Hazelnut Brown.
How did you come up with that recipe?
Years ago, it was one of the beers that I liked a lot that used to be available at Matchless over in Williamsburg.
Mm-hmm.
And this is going back like 7-8 years ago. They used to have Rogue Hazelnut Nectar in kegs, which you can never find these days. And but back then, he used to, for whatever reason, he was able to get his hands on kegs.
Pouring beer.
Okay. Beer's going around. So we used to go in. My wife and I used to stop in there before we had kids. And, you know, every Friday and Saturday, we'd go someplace and Matchless was always on the list because he either had the hazelnut or he had a Baltic Porter or something else cool. And it just became a style that I wanted to experiment with. And I experimented with it literally for about 7 years. And it was the one beer that I really was excited to do once I got the licensing. But, you know, there's other beers that I'm excited about too. You know, so, I mean, it's just one, which is unfortunate with, say, Ben, that he has the rotating tap lines because he did, you know, like he sold a lot of it, and I'd like to keep bringing it there, but we got to figure something else out.
Five kegs in 1 week. Actually, and 5 kegs in 5 days.
Yeah.
So, but I thought, how can you sell 5 kegs if you're rotating kegs all the time?
Rotating beers, so we never repeat the beer. So we kept that beer going until
beer week. Oh, so you're not just buying 1 keg at a time.
Generally speaking, 1 keg at a time, but sometimes 2. But we won't go in between, you know, go back and forth between beers.
I see. So you're okay with getting?
He caught me in a lie.
Yeah.
What's
up with that?
You know, we're tough journalists here. All right, now that makes sense. Okay. So you'll run with something you like and you'll keep it going, but then when it's out, you won't go back.
Honestly, I've never bought more than 2 kegs of anything except for Rich's beer. That's the truth.
Nice.
So now you know, guys.
It went so fast.
Just
you
deliver
yourself,
a lot of
you
kegs
know
at
how
once.
Fast they went at your bar.
I know. We had 2 small kegs, and literally by the next day, they were gone.
Did you have the same, the hazelnut?
I did, and someone told me I drank 1 whole keg myself, which I probably did. Yeah. All right. Ben, you guys, Queensboro.
Yes, sir.
What, this isn't telling me anything about Queensboro. I mean, so there's a couple bars in Queens, a couple small breweries. What else is going on in Queens?
Okay, let's see. I mean, it's everything is pretty small. I don't know if that's the great part about it. Everyone's really supportive. I feel like everyone knows each other. The other brewery that's not here is the Rockaway guys, and they're out of Long Island City. They actually started, it's just as home brewers out in the Rockaways where they vacationed. And they just bought a space. They're sort of doing similar, you know, very small operations, similar to Rich. And then Single Cut is sort of like the big player, big, you know, comparatively, of course, they're quite small compared to like Bud or something. And they've got like a bunch of different beers, rotating a bunch of different, they're actually showing up at a lot of different places. And they're, you know, full in, they've got like a bunch of employees. So they're sort of like an interesting example of how to upscale and still keep the quality. And they're still delivering, hand delivering. So,
Lori, what do you look for when you go into a bar in Queens? What would make you happy in terms of their beer lineup or selection or anything?
Let's see. I mean, I like seeing local stuff, of course. That's really exciting. I mean, for a while, I was excited about seeing, you know, before I kind of knew about the local Queens stuff, I was excited to see like a Bronx or something. Also, people who want to talk to me about beer. I mean, that was the thing about like the Astoria Beer Cheese. They'll just, you know, if you have questions, they'll kind of talk to you for a while. They'll pair something. I'm really interested in pairing lately. It's a kind of exciting new field of experimentation. So someone who can suggest pairings is a plus. So those were kind of what I looked for when I was doing this story.
Rich, what do you like? You know, you drink a lot of beer. You've been making it for a while. When you go out, what do you look for? Like, you know, say you went to some bar you've never been into. What would you look for with their beer selection?
Definitely local beers. I'm not really much for beer. I mean, I'll have craft brewed beer, but I like the idea when it's close. I think just the product is generally better, fresher. You know, it didn't travel that far. It's, you know, they were able to keep better controls over the temperature and whatnot. I'm more than willing to support somebody that's local. So, you know, and it seems that there's might be more of a trend now for beers to be marketed more locally. You know, so I mean, if that is the trend, then I'm all over it. You know.
Yeah, no, we've seen a big shift. I mean, even a couple years ago, people weren't really asking for New York beers, but people come in. Even Blind Tiger says that Jimmy's number 43. Tourists come to town; they want to try New York City beers. So it's you guys are right on time, man. Yeah. And Ben, I'm gonna give you guys a toast because when I first met you guys a couple years ago, I tried to talk you out of opening a bar cafe, and I know we met at a party, and you're enthusiastic. Well, I had to because it's the litmus test. You got to really make sure that their heart was in it, and
we
really
follow the same tradition.
Yes.
Anyone who wants to open up a business, I try to scare them out of it and see if they're still standing.
But you guys on your site, tell us your site, because you had cool photos of when you first opened and the renovations you did. You have a really cool story. You don't even remember, do you?
It's kind of, you know, it was the time of our lives. I mean, it was so much fun building that place. You know, our hands were on every inch, you know, every square inch of the whole place building it. And honestly, I mean, that was so long ago now. It's their fond memories, of course, and it's in the history of our Facebook page. But hey, you know, I want to do it again. I don't really look back too much on that.
Well, I'll tell you what. when we come back from the break, you're going to come back and tell me about how you guys got started. And then we're going to talk to Rich. He's going to tell us about how he got started. We'll be back in a few minutes on Beer Sessions Radio.
You're listening to Real Long Way to Go by Brothers NYC on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. So, you like good beer. Whether you're a craft beer pro or just had your first sip of an IPA, GreatBrewers.com is your number one beer resource on the internet. GreatBrewers.com bridges the gap between the world's great brewers and the consumers who enjoy their products. With so much information and misinformation out there, GreatBrewers.com focuses on education and leaves no stone unturned. Take the Great Beer Test on their website and browse through an extensive product catalog. Download their mobile Beer Cloud app, which includes a GPS beer finder, a beer sommelier, and descriptions for over 5,000 different brews. What are you waiting for? Back up that passion for craft beer with some solid information and education. Visit GreatBrewers.com today.
All right, hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. Thanks for that shout-out for GreatBrewers.com, our sponsor. We got a good show tonight. We're here with the Queens craft beer scene, Gloria Dawson from Time Out, Ben and Jen from Queens Quick Shot, Rich from Ridge and Tunnel Brewery, and a guest from up in Inwood, Gus Anton from Inwood Local. All right, let's make a toast. We just had some of Rich's awesome Bridge and Tunnel Tiger Eyes Hazelnut Brown Ale, which has been a real hit of New York City Beer Week. One of the smallest breweries in New York, he probably had the most popular beer in New York City Beer Week. And now we're drinking. What did you bring, Gloria, from Single Cut Beer?
Single Cut, their 18 watt IPA. It's pretty hoppy, and but it's actually pretty low ABV, which I kind of dig because I'm pretty much a lightweight. So it's kind of nice to have a big beer that isn't going to knock me off a bar stool. So.
I think it's just right. So, Ben and Jen,
yes, sir.
Tell us how you got started. A little backstory.
Sure.
Queens Kickshaw and Queens Quick Shot.
It's a long story, but if I had to wrap it into a nutshell, it was trying to do as much as we possibly could on a really ridiculously, unrealistically small budget. We went way over budget and had to, you know, put like $65,000 on our credit cards, which we, you know, took out just for specifically in case we were going to go over budget, which we did. And but the funnest part about it was just, you know, designing the whole place ourselves and being there every single day and, you know, learning how to do everything, how to, you know, use the power tools and how to, you know, do everything from sand to you know, use the jigsaw and all the cutters and everything. And to this day, it's been one of the most amazing things for being a business owner, having built the place. Now I know how to repair the place. So I probably saved, you know, many, many, many thousands of dollars just being able to fix little things that I would have no clue about before.
And so with you and Jen, what are your roles in the business? Do you wear different hats?
Yeah, we wear different hats. I mean, basically, I run the beer program and the beverage program and sort of guide the menu and do the training for service and stuff like that. Jen handles social media, human resources, hiring, you know, like keeping up with the media and things like that.
And Jen, you want to talk?
Hello. That about sums it up. We're a pretty good team, actually. It's, you know, the challenges of being husband and wife working together all the time. But I think we complement each other really well because there are different things that we're good at. And so we kind of make it all work.
And what are some of the cool things about the neighborhood that you're in? Like other cool places to go? Where do you
I mean, Astoria is awesome. I mean, there's so many things that are happening these days. A lot of new restaurants and new bars are opening up. The neighborhood is a really solid neighborhood. I mean, I talk about this a lot, and it's you know, of course, this brings up larger issues of new restaurants and new and sort of, you know, cool things and hipster things and yada 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 and gentrification. And the thing is about Astoria, it's a really strong, solid neighborhood. It's, you know, there's not a lot of turnover happening, although of course it's moving in a certain direction, but much slower than other places like, you know, like Williamsburg or, you know, the Lower East Side. And so it's exciting that, you know, all of this can still happen within the context of a solid neighborhood that's not getting destroyed.
And then how did you guys get so involved in Beer Week this year? I saw Queens Kickshaw all over the place, did a lot of events. And in particular, I know you guys tried to bring in all the Queens breweries. So was that natural for you, or had you been working on that for a while? Did people approach you?
I mean, we definitely have a strong sense of Queens pride. We live in Queens. I was raised in Long Island City. You know, we have a very strong sense of pride about where we are. We knew that we wanted to open a business in our neighborhood, and I think that definitely, you know, carries across. Our customers also really appreciate and see that. And can you repeat the question?
No, but you're getting somewhere. You're doing good now. All right. And okay, on a typical day, what can I get at Queens Kickshaw?
On a typical day? Well, I mean, we specialize in grilled cheese sandwiches. Pretty soon, you're going to see a whole new menu at the Queens Kickshaw. We've hired a new chef a few months ago, and he's just, you know, kicking out some incredible, incredible stuff that we've been doing all these different pairings with. So, you know, we've been doing tasting menus for, like, New Year's Eve and for Valentine's, for Beer Week, for Cider Week. And we're going to continue with the pairings, of course, but we've got you know, a whole new menu coming out, and so that's really exciting. Brunch started recently, which is, we're just, you know, kind of knocking it out of the park with that. It's wonderful. The food's great. So you can get, you know, in the morning you can get amazing coffee, especially coffee, grilled cheese sandwiches in the afternoon, and at night we're specializing in craft beers.
All right.
And you guys have a great music scene going there.
Oh, yeah.
Now,
Friday
right?
nights, yeah. We do music. That's once a week.
And one of your beer stories I really liked was from Single Cut. Mm-hmm. It was the Christmas Eve.
We like doing story. Like fun, weird, you know, kind of goofy, off the wall, creative events. And one of them was called Walks and Locks. It was a Christmas Eve, and so we did a whole menu of basically Jewish and Chinese inspired dishes. And so we asked Single Cut before they were even open, before they were selling beer, if they would start by making a something in that tradition for us. So that what they came up with was a Szechuan peppercorn matzah beer.
Nice.
And it's become one of their most popular beers as far as, from what I've heard, they call it the Yan Olympic White Lager, and it's delicious.
What are you going to do for Passover?
That's a great question.
I'm doing a cider dinner, just so you know.
Oh, yeah?
Well, cider goes with Passover.
That should be good.
It's cider.
It's called cider, cedra, seder.
Wonderful. That's wonderful.
You're not doing anything special for Passover?
We haven't thought about it
you
yet.
You should.
We haven't thought about it yet.
Come on.
I agree.
That's the thing we didn't even pick. Who's doing anything interesting for Passover? It's not on your radar.
I got St. Patrick's Day on my radar.
I won. Cider, cedar, seder at Jimmy's number 43. All right.
Wow.
Yes, I noticed after New York City Beer Week, kind of like all the events just went flat. The last 2 weeks, there was like not too much going on. Everyone's regrouping. So it was a lot of fun, I will say that. And Rich, we're gonna get to you now. So I know a little bit about your backstory. We went out with some riders. We checked out what you were doing. And you really just started as a home brewer, didn't you?
Yeah. I've been brewing for about 10 years, going on 11. But, you know, most of those years were as a home brewer, brewing out of an apartment, small apartments. My wife and I were first living in a studio over in Long Island City, and I was working a job where I had Tuesdays and Wednesdays off, and a buddy that I was working with, that he was a brewer, and he kind of, like, tapped into something that I always wanted to do, and he was like, listen, we both have bad days off. Why don't you get into brewing, and I'll start brewing again, and we'll bring beer in. And that was, you know, like I said, almost 11 years ago. And then I just locked in with it, you know, especially like I did extract brewing for like a couple of batches and then wanted to try all grain. And then I just loved the process, you know. And
so where did you first get your good all grain recipes? Online? Were you reading any books like Charlie Papazian or anything?
Actually, there's a book out that's it's called Designing Great Beers, which like really gets into the math of brewing and like, you know, with the bad days off. Like I just really just poured over this book, and it taught like the math in this book makes it possible for you to just really sit down and work out your whole recipe. You know, with, you know, you have pen, paper, calculator, you do it all, you know. And it's like the same methodology that, you know, let's say like a beersmith program or, you know, some of the software that's online would mimic. So basically I started off just doing it by hand, and I'm kind of refused to let go of that. So, but yeah, Designing Great Beers, it's an older book, and I got it off of a bookstore on Steinway that went under, and another place came up in their place. But they used to have in the very back, they used to have like books that were like you know, discounted, you know, dead stock kind of books. And this Designing Great Beers, it had a bent cover, and the guy was selling it for like $5. It was a $20 book, and I was like, I'll take that, you know.
That's an awesome
it turned
story.
Out to be like my Bible. Yeah.
Well, one thing I like about also having been to your brewery, you know, you're meticulous. I feel like that technically you're not making any mistakes.
Right.
And a lot of things you made by hand or you rigged up.
Whole system, pretty much. Built myself. Which I'm sure Ben can relate to. When you really get your hands into something and you start from the ground up and build it, and then you see it working, you know, worst case scenario, if something breaks, you know how to repair it. If it's not working the way it's supposed to, you can tweak it and make it, you know, perform. But that's how I've been finding the whole system so far. I mean, like I said, I built it myself. And at first I was really like reluctant to put that out there. But now that the more that I get exposed to other, you know, now that I'm looking into possibly bigger systems, I realize that my little system is just a tight little system, you know, and it's been working really well for me.
You know. No, I can tell, and you haven't really made any mistakes. I haven't had a bad beer yet, which is kind of a problem with some new beers. Sometimes you get some off beers, you know.
Yeah.
What's the other beer that you brought? The stout.
Yeah, I brought the my stout. It's calling it milk and oatmeal stout. It's really a milk stout with.
Let's taste that.
Yeah, generous.
And Jen from Queen's Kickshaw is our sommelier today, pouring for everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's lactose in the boil, and there's oatmeal in the mash. I was trying to go for like kind of crossing both styles, and I'm just going to finish my beer so I can get some.
And then Rich too, you're not trying to make too many styles, or are you? You have a few beers that you're making right now.
You know,
like how many beers are you making?
I would like to make a lot of styles, but I'm a one man show right now, and one of the things that everything everything for me is kind of like a triage activity. Like, what can I do now that's, you know, going to get the beer out, and what can I fit in around it? And one of the things I consistently find that I have trouble fitting around is going through the labeling process with the feds and the state. So that's been the one thing that's been holding up my recipes. You know what I mean? So right now I have, technically I have,
so every time you make a new recipe, you have to get it approved.
It's a 40-day process. And I've only had the brewery going since September. So I have five recipes officially approved. The fourth one went into the kettle last weekend, which is, it's going to be a black rye IPA. But that in itself has been slowing me up because, you know, it's a matter of, do you sit in front of the computer or, you know, get this paperwork together and mail it off and, you know, make copies and multiple copies and the whole bit, or do you get in there and clean kegs? You know what I mean? And I'm trying to figure out how to push it forward and get the paperwork done. But that's, so far, like I said, four beers have been, you know, officially produced, fifth that I have a labeling for, but I haven't done yet. So, but yeah, I mean, I'm all for different styles. I have a whole bunch of recipes that I'm kind of itching to dig into, you know.
But what's the fifth style?
Fifth one is going to be called Redbird Express, Belgian Red IPA. It's named after the 7 Train, the old Redbird 7 Trains.
You have some great names for your beers.
Well, it's got to be about Queens,
good,
you know.
Stories.
Yeah.
Here we go. There's the Queens Pride.
Yeah, right.
So you're the ultimate Queens brewer then. Because
you know,
I think you probably have the most roots in Queens.
It's funny. Ben was born in Long Island City.
No, not born, just raised.
Okay. I was born in Maspeth. Admittedly, it's not where I wanted to end up, because growing up in Queens back in the 70s and the 80s wasn't really a great place to be living. So I kind of took initiative to leave. I lived overseas for off and on for, I was away for probably a good 8 years, and then I came back for family. But like, once I came back, I've been back now for 13 years, but once I came back, all the New York thing just came right back. But you know, no matter what it is, man, this is your home. And I feel like Queens has always been kind of under-recognized. Meanwhile, there's so many things going on in Queens, most diverse borough, you know, among the boroughs. I mean, if, you know, anybody who likes traveling, they dig that, you know, and I love it. Like this place that we're at right now, I was just talking with Gloria that we're, like, there's a wood-burning stove right outside. It's spot on to a little tea house in Nepal, you know. And I mean, like, where are you going to go to find this kind of stuff? I mean, I think, you know, the boroughs, you know, and as they're developing, I want to pay tribute to this whole place, you know. And
so that's why you call it Bridge and Tunnel.
Well, Bridge and Tunnel, you know, bridges and tunnels unite the city, you know. I don't really care what other connotation the term might have. For me, when I was a kid, it was a term that simply meant that you lived in the boroughs and that you commuted to the city to go to school or to party, and that's what everybody did back then. And I went to school in the city, you know, come the weekends, I was always in the village, and you know what? I'm reclaiming the term. I think back then it was positive, and
I think you're making a difference by making a good beer.
Right on.
Yeah,
definitely.
All right, and you can just be Queens and Brooklyn, you know. Cheers, exactly, to you, man. All right.
Cheers.
Well, guys, this is cool. Yeah, and who can make the coolest sounds with their beer glasses? How about that? That's Ben. All right. Cheers to everybody. Now, this is a pretty intense show, because a lot of you guys I've met recently, and you know, we haven't done a Queen show before, so.
Well, there's definitely good stories going on. Lots of I think stories like the one Rich just told, of just people sort of liking their neighborhood. I mean, same with like Rockaway, kind of had a their story is part of Queens as well, and I don't know, and it's nice to see. I think like a lot of people would come for, obviously, like the Bohemian Beer Garden is like the sort of beer, but there's so many other places to go for good beer in Queens.
So what are a couple other places to go in Queens for beer?
Well, Sunswick is great. Astoria Beer Cheese, The Strand, Crescent and Vine, probably forgetting some others.
You've named most of them, but I think I just wanted to add what you know, some interesting piece of history. Basically, when Jen and I were opening up Queen's Kickshaw while we were building, we discovered someone else sort of grabbed the name Kickshaw, so we sort of had to do a little research on our neighborhood to figure out if we wanted to rename it something else, or, which is how we landed on the Queen's Kickshaw, because we really wanted to identify with the neighborhood. But in the process, we went to the Historical Society and told them our story and what we were going to be doing, and they I'm not a historian, so I'm probably going to bastardize this whole story, but basically Astoria was a haven for brewing and beer gardens before Prohibition. So there's really, you know, if you had to say that there was a place in New York City that, you know, kind of, you know, pulsed with beer and the etheria of the streets and the history of the place, that would be Astoria. And so it was really surprising to me that there were no breweries in Queens when we opened Queens Kickshaw, and I'm very proud to say that now there are four.
Yeah, there's. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a similar story in Brooklyn and Manhattan too, but it's taken Queens a bit longer to kind of come back. I mean, even from Prohibition, yeah. But there were bottling plants, breweries. That was really big.
Yep.
Well, cool. Well, I'll tell you what. How about another glass of that Bridge and Tunnel Stout?
All right.
We'll take a few minutes break. We'll be back on Beer Sessions Radio.
I'm gone, because 12 hours here, 12 hours too long. 30 odd years, man, was like a crystal red. Listen, name is some charm in your sister. 30 odd years, man, I've always known. Trouble always starts on that open road. Trouble always starts on that open road. I need to say
hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio and the Heritage Radio Network. We're out here at Roberta's in Bushwick. Bushwick is right next to Queens. It's right next to Ridgewood, Queens.
Yep.
So we're right near
honorary,
Queens.
Honorary, yeah. Queens.
Honorary Queens. And you guys missed a couple Queens beer places.
We were saying Alewife,
Long Island City.
Long Island City. You know, of course, there's the new beer garden. You got it. I mean, if you're going to do a beer garden tour, you got to go to the old beer garden.
So usually we tell people to go to Good Beer Seal and check out places like Sunswick is on yep. Good Beer Seal. But is there any other site to learn more about Queens places? So I know there's Edible
iHeart Astoria is another good website. And then there's Borough Magazine. They focus on Queens and mostly Long Island City and Astoria. So they're all both right. Good.
Well, we got a great story from Rich about Bridge and Tunnel Brewing. And we're still talking. Let's keep it going, guys. This is cool. Everybody's starting to talk. And we've got a special guest here, Gus Anton. He was going to be a call-in guest. He's a fan of – are you from Queens, Gus?
No, I'm not from
you're
Queens.
You're not, but you're Greek.
I'm Greek, yes.
Again, honorary.
Greeks in Astoria.
All right. So tell us what you do. You got some place in Manhattan up in Inwood.
Yeah, it's all the way uptown. A lot of people think it's in the Bronx. Inwood is at the very tip of Manhattan. We're pretty much a wine bar and beer garden. We've got about 30 or so seats in the back. We have an outdoor – well, it's not – it's kind of outdoor. We tented it due to the possible – noise that might escape from people kind of having a good time and drinking out into a residential building that's behind us. And then in the front there, we have about 30 plus more seats.
So, Gus, you're going to have a quick story with you because you're our little studio guest here. But sure. It says you have a limited beer knowledge, but you know enough to know that Inwood would need a place with a respectable beer list. So what kind of beers
Absolutely.
Do you have up there?
We've got about three of the Trappist beers, and we do 16 rotating taps. Domestic, imported.
Listen, cheers to you. Cheers. Thanks for coming on. Just
Thank
want to
you.
Say
Thanks
a quick shout out. You know, you're going to learn a lot about beer. Keep listening to us on Beer Sessions Radio.
Absolutely. Thank you.
And,
Thanks for having me.
Hopefully. You've been up there, Gloria.
So, yeah, I went up there for my next piece for Time Out, and I walked in, and it shows what Inwood is. It's just a great, diverse place from the people, the beer, and it just, you know, totally made me smile up there. And you've got two other places. So you kind of are slowly kind of changing, I feel like, Inwood's If you eat in Inwood, you most likely you're going to eat one of your places.
One of my places, like. Maybe. Yeah, yeah. Well, my dad had a place over on Dykeman Street in the '60s, and he had it for about 4 10-year terms. And then
what was it called?
It was called the Cloisters Cafe. Yeah, anyone that's been born and raised in that neighborhood knows exactly what it was. It's turned into a bank now, but he was there forever. And he still, you know, he tries to help me whenever I go food shopping. He'll come along with me. He, you know, he's in his 70s now.
A long time
but he's,
restaurant.
Yeah,
fan.
A long time, yeah.
And what's the other place?
The Garden Cafe is actually further north on 207th Street and Broadway. Yeah. And it's pretty much on the same block as the beer garden.
So, Gloria, you have a Time Out article coming out about
Inwood. Yeah, some actually just beer gardens, sort of spring stuff going on. But yeah, this was a little bit off the beaten path. But I walked in, and it just really fits with you know, if people want to try a beers, and you've got like a great deal on Fridays. They have like an open
for Saturdays of the month. Oh, yeah, first Saturdays of the month. Yeah, 10 to 1 a.m. 3 hours. We do an open bar for $30. And pretty much all of the drafts are available, a lot of the house wines, and then we do sake cocktails.
Yeah, it's a really great space, and yeah, just like great piece of chill.
It was all right. So that was our call-in in-studio guest. Came all the way to say hi, and we're going to see you again, Gus, because we know you're a rising star.
Thanks a lot.
Doing a great job.
Thanks for having
all right.
me.
So back to Queens. Well, Gus, why don't you join in on this one then? Let's talk about Queens. So you said you've checked out some of the Queens bars.
Yeah, okay. Did you want me to mention?
Yeah, which ones have you checked out?
Well, I've actually been at the Kickshaw a couple times. I love the place. I highly recommend it.
How about this? He's going to tell us more about the Kickshaw than the owners did. Okay, what does it look like and how big is it?
You walk inside and you never expect, you know, what's back there. I thought it pretty much ended where the bar was. And when I first walked inside, I said, wow, where are they going to sit us? There's nothing left here. And then you had a young lady that was a hostess during that night, and she took us to the back, and there was a whole other room back there, and we were like, wow, very impressive. You did a great job with the space. I know it's actually the beer garden that I have is the same. It's like kind of long and narrow.
You've got a similar setup where you kind of walk in and you think, okay, that's it, and then you just keeps going. It's New York City. You know, you get whatever space you can use.
And then did you have food there, or did you have drinks?
Yeah, we had food and drinks. Actually, we came in once for brunch, and then we just came in for drinks one other night.
And what did you think of the food at Queen's Kitchen?
It was great. Yeah, like, my girlfriend had grilled cheese.
Grilled cheese.
And then I had your frittata, I believe it was, the open-faced omelet.
An omelet, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. And did you have beer there?
Yeah, I actually had Rich's beer the other night, yeah.
Did you go there during New York City Beer Week, or you've been there?
No, I didn't. No, I was actually in my own place, yeah. Yeah, it was a busy week.
So in Inwood, too, you were celebrating New York City Beer Week?
Well, the first Saturdays fell on that weekend, and so that's what we kind of went on with a bang. And that night. And actually, we did a Harlem Shake video, and actually the bartender, she uploaded it. It's quite funny, actually. We had a little accident. Nobody got hurt, but you might want to YouTube that.
Uno, te, Cody. And you have a website?
We have a website. It's www.inwoodlocal.com.
So is this where all the real action goes on? You go up to Inwood, you go out to Queens. Somebody take
it.
I know you know
the
what's
Bronx
going on.
Too. Yeah, uh-huh. we got to get outside of here.
What about Jen? Where do you go besides Queens Kickshaw?
Oh, man. Queens Kickshaw takes up all my time. Mm-hmm. But we do, I mean, we love going out to other, you know, restaurants in the city and LIC. It's a little bit hard to get to, but we have a little scooter that we putt around in, so it's nice.
Putt.
Yeah, some great local restaurants in Astoria, too, that we love.
All right. Gus, where else do you go? Come on. Gus,
in,
you're
in
the
Astoria?
Most guy here.
In Astoria?
Sure, Astoria.
As far as, like, what, any restaurant at all?
Anything.
I love the Greek restaurants that are out there. You got Stamatis, you have Kiklades.
Have you been to Ilia's Corner?
Ilia's Corner. Actually, I'll be honest with you, I've never been there.
That's a good place.
I've never been there, yeah.
You walk in, there's all the fish on display. You can get it cooked any way you want.
Yeah, I'm not a big
grilled,
fish eater, so I...
Octopus.
Mm-hmm. Greek, not big fish eater?
Yeah,
what?
No. I don't, yeah. No.
He's not really Greek. We're going to get some angry letters in from that community.
So wait, there is one beer that you keep on tap all the time, though, the kombucha one you do, right?
Yes, we do always. Okay, now we're getting called out on another lie.
Thank you, Gloria.
So we have
That's why we have
seven
a journalist here.
There are seven taps total. One is for cold brewed iced coffee, which is technically not a beer, and that's on all the time. We have a dedicated cider line, and that's always going to be cider. It's you know, we, it's farmhouse cider almost exclusively. We try to rotate it.
Does it rotate?
Yeah, we do try to rotate that, but it's, you know, there's not a lot of cideries, so you know, we try to rotate that between Farnham Hill, between Aspall, between Harvest Moon, Naked Flock. So we go back and forth between all those. There's a new one that we're getting from Spain called Castañón. And then lastly is kombucha.
Yeah.
And there's been a few different versions that Beyond Kombucha's come out with, which I should just go back and say that we've been talking about Queen's Breweries. They were technically the first brewery to come back since Prohibition, right before Rockaway, and then came
Bridge and Tunnel.
Bridge and Tunnel, and then Single Cut in quick succession. Beyond Kombucha debuted in December of 2011. With a high alcohol or alcohol positive kombucha, as they call it, called Mava Roca, which is a maple vanilla.
So how much alcohol is it?
About 7% alcohol.
So it is like it's a alcoholic kombucha.
Yeah.
Wow.
So basically, it's a kombucha.
Never heard of that.
Fermented tea, which is then goes through a secondary fermentation with sugar and yeast, maple syrup actually, and yeast. And I'm looking forward to tasting this with you guys.
Did you bring some?
We brought some kombucha. It's called Yes Love. It's a new thing, we've had it once. We had it for Beer Week. It went in a day, so I'm very excited to have some more right now. And it, basically, Yes Love stands for Yarrow Elderflower Saison. So it's got saison yeast. It's also got the love means that it's been combined with lovers. Saison, with lover saison as the base. So it's got love potion in there, which is honey kombucha. It's got aphrodisiacs such as Damiana, Miura, Puama. I'm literally rattling off everything.
Are you coming on to me, Ben?
Yes. Yes, love. Yes,
love potion. Love.
But they're a great story of working with red tape, because they were actually not allowed to. They had to get a liquor license because they had too much alcohol in their tea, and instead they went full on and opened a brewery and just kind of took the red tape and kind of made a new business out of it, which is
exactly
kind of cool. Because you hear about a lot of people, you know, having problems with New York State liquor laws, but they kind of made a good business.
Remember, actually, a couple years, or it was probably about 3 years ago now, all the kombucha had to be pulled from the shelves of Whole Foods, and it was because they were finding alcohol levels higher than 0.05%. And so Spiro from Beyond Kombucha decided to take it, you know, a new route and just accept the alcohol. Well,
let's go around the room. We've got some good tasters here. Gus, Rich. Let's start with Rich. What do you think about, as a brewer, what do you think about this 7% kombucha?
That's very interesting. I mean, I was, it's very fine head, good head retention. It's like a amber chestnut color.
Well, keep in mind also, there's amber malt in here. It's also brewed with Santium hops. So, I mean, it definitely crosses the boundary between beer and kombucha.
And supposedly they... I mean, I know a little bit about kombucha. It uses SCOBY yeast.
Yeah.
And it becomes like a circle, like a disc.
Yeah, yeah. Like it's like a mother when you're making vinegar.
Right.
Same kind of thing.
And then it reproduces itself. But I'm very surprised. I mean, my wife and I were talking about making kombucha for ourselves at home. We actually were buying bottles of Beyond Kombucha when we were still in the process of building the brewery, and we were always really impressed with it. But I mean, it's kind of interesting the way it's fermented, because it's very, very beer-like.
Yeah, this one is very beer-like.
This is definitely feel like a crossover, because the other drinks that I've had with them are definitely have
much more.
I can't even describe it. It's like a
tart and sour and
almost
so it's usually like the typical kombucha, the tea base, the fermented.
Exactly. This one's much more
like
beer-like.
Gateway to kombucha.
We found a lot of their usually it's like kind of like champagne-like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be curious what they use to ferment this. If it's a SCOBY, it's very interesting.
Definitely
tasty. It's great.
You should go there. That's definitely one of the more unique breweries you go to. You don't usually hear like yoga music playing in a brewery, and there's like Buddha sculpture. It's pretty cool.
Where is the brewery?
It's in Astoria. It's actually just a few blocks away from you guys.
Just one block away from us. It's on Steinway and the next block down from Broadway.
And what does a kombucha brewery look like? Does it look like a soda shop, a soda factory, a brewery?
Yeah, I mean, it looks like a small brewery. They just happen to have, it's fermenting longer, so it's like cloth-covered barrels, and you can see, you see the fermented. It is those rings. It's a little different looking, but some of the fermenting tanks are fairly similar in some ways. So.
Yeah.
So you guys are the only time anyone's ever asked me to put kombucha on draft is someone that doesn't want to drink. So I've said no to that, but yeah. This is a whole different thing.
Yeah, it's a completely different thing, and it's one, it's high in alcohol. Two, it's very atypical. This particular one is atypical of most kombuchas in that it's not gluten free. A lot of people think of a kombucha as being gluten free, but this has amber malt in it. So
wow. So you have these three special lines, and you have four lines of beer,
and then four lines of beer.
All right, Gus, what do you think about the alcoholic kombucha?
At this point of the session, I'm pretty much very close to toast. But it's very effervescent. I mean, I wouldn't expect this to be anything but tea-related. Definitely very close to a beer. Very fruity. Good head on it. And, it's I like it a lot.
All yeah. right. Cool. Well, cheers to Beyond Kombucha. Cheers. That's a pretty good little cross-section of Queens. Today on the show, Rich, tell us a few more things. I mean, you're from Queens, and you're really probably one of the best brewers in Queens right now.
Oh man, thank you.
I can say that.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it.
I can second that.
Oh God, the pressure. I would say if I'm going to speak for myself, I'd say I'm the smallest and scrappiest brewer right now in Queens. Definitely the underdog. But yeah, I don't know. I mean. You know, like I said, been brewing since professionally now, if you want to call that, since September, and process is slowly getting easier. Initially, in the beginning, it was like, getting the system to work for me, and I took a lot of injuries in the beginning, which, the way I see it, if you get a good story out of it, then it's worth it. So maybe that's the Irish side in me, but, I got hurt a lot, and it was kind of every injury I'd be like, all right, well, I'm still standing, let's keep going, and I'm going to laugh about it later. Like I did the first homebrew club that I spoke with was guys over in Greenpoint, the Brooklyn Bruisers, and I went there, and my beer was just like so young. There was the Hefeweizen that was actually, I'm sorry, the Dunkelweizen was in the fermenter so for a short time, and I kind of forced out a keg so I can get a sample for these guys, and headed over there with the stout and the Dunkelweizen, and the whole time I'm giving this presentation, and meanwhile I had like a second degree burn on my ear from, and you guys saw the way my kettles are, they're kind of like different heights and stuff, the boil kettle is like right eye level, So, but yeah, I mean, it's getting easier, and just trying to move forward with it and get more styles out there, and keep it basic,
All right, man.
Yeah.
Well, cheers to you, and cheers to everybody here today. We're going to do a quick wrap-up. Gloria, anything else you want to say before we close out?
No, I think everyone should come out and try all different drinking opportunities in Queens. There's tons of choices.
So. All right, Jen from Queens Kickshaw. Anything coming up at Queens Kickshaw we should know about?
Yeah, actually, we're turning 2 years old on March 28th, so we've got some stuff planned. We have like a crazy awesome lineup of anniversary beers, both that are going to be both on tap and in bottles. And again, as Ben mentioned, we're debuting a new dinner menu, so look for like sort of a preview on that too. And then some live music and just a good time, like a toast with all of our
right.
guest customers.
And Ben, what's your favorite beer right now?
I just wanted to make a shout out to Big Alice Brewery.
Oh yes,
we've never tasted anything from them, but I can't wait to see what they're going to come up with. They're a new one on the horizon.
A new one in Queens?
Yeah, Long Island City.
Rock out!
Yeah.
And Rich, just to give a quick shout out. Anything you're doing? Bridge and Tunnel Brewery.
Yeah, well, I'm gonna have some IPAs coming up. I want to work on something with maybe the sequel to Angry Amel. I'm thinking Angry Ingrid. Might get maybe one of my female fans on the tap handle, you know, the angriest woman that we can find.
Oh, you do great tap handles, too.
Yeah, cool.
Awesome, man. We're going to be back and talk more about that. And Gus, anything going on up in Inwood, Inwood local?
Actually, for St. Patrick's Day, if you guys are in the neighborhood, we're going to do $5 pints all day on Sunday.
All right.
Yeah.
And, hey, thanks again to our sponsor, greatbrewers.com. Thank you for joining us tonight here on Beer Sessions Radio. I'd like to thank everybody. We got Gloria, Ben, Jen, Juan, Rich, and Gus for joining me here on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jimmy Carboni. Thanks to our producers, Jack Inslee, Brie O'Connor, and engineer Joe Gallarada. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time on Beer Sessions Radio.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.
Listeners, we want to tell you about a podcast we're really digging. It's called Christopher Kimball's Milk Street Radio. Every week, they travel the world to find the most fascinating stories about food, including children who harvest cod tongues after school in Norway, and a detective who tracks down food thieves. And on Milk Street Radio, you can always find the unexpected. The comedian who ranks apples using an elaborate 100-point system, the secret history of grocery stores, and how to eat your way through Italy. They also interview the most beloved names in food like Jacques Pepin, Sola Aweli, Jose Andres, Jet Tila, Ina Garten, Nigella Lawson, and Padma Lakshmi. Plus, co-hosts Christopher Kimball and Sarah Moulton do live calls with listeners and answer their questions about ingredients, techniques, and culinary mysteries. Like, why roasting a leg of lamb made one caller's oven explode? Ever wonder why your bread won't rise or your souffle falls flat? Chris and Sarah have the answers. You'll also hear from a rotating cast of contributors, including Kenji Lopez-Alt, Cheryl Day, Dan Pashman from The Sporkful, and Alex Inouz, a French guy cooking from YouTube. Take a listen at 177milkstreet.com/radio or just search your podcast app for Milk Street Radio.